Welcome to Freya Singing Tips, the podcast. My name is Freya Casey, professional singer and vocal coach. I have been on stage my whole life, and I'm passionate about helping you discover the awesomeness in your own voice. Opera, musical theater, jazz, pop, folk, rock, I have done it all. And I want to give you golden nuggets of advice on how to be the master of your voice. If you sing a lot, you have to take good care of your instrument. And today I want to share 10 tips that help you survive as a singer who sings a lot, whether that's professionally or semi-professionally. I've had times when I had to sing every single day of the week. Now, I usually had a couple of gigs, a few rehearsals, and then I had about 20 to 25 students on top of that that I taught Monday through Friday. So a lot of vocalization, plus all the talking that goes on when you teach and when you talk to everyone when you rehearse. Here are some tips that I found are so important to keep in mind when you sing a lot so that you have your instrument in the future. Remember that you cannot replace your voice. You can buy a new guitar or a new piano, but your voice can never be substituted. The first thing is to be always aware that your vocal cords are muscles and that they need to be warmed up. They need to cool down. You need to strengthen them. You need to use them frequently, and that there are things that you can do to help them. And then there are things you can do to strain them. If you develop vocal nodules on your vocal cords, that means they don't close efficiently anymore, and therefore you can't sing a clear tone anymore. It's always going to be distorted. There's going to be breathiness and all the noise that you don't want in there. Remember that it's always like a workout. You are an athlete as a singer, so take good care of those muscles that are your vocal cords. The second thing is hydration. I know that when we get really busy, when we're on the road, when we're out and about, and when we're at a gig, it gets very busy and sometimes we forget to drink. Always take a cup, a bottle, whatever it is. Take enough to drink and take a warm drink. Take like a ginger tea and a thermos. I used to always take this with me everywhere I went because sometimes when I arrived somewhere, they didn't have what I wanted to drink. Like sometimes they just had sparkling water, which is very common here in Germany. So I took my still water with my ginger, or I took my ginger tea. Take with you whatever is good for your throat. Sage tea with honey is also really good when you feel a cold coming on or you're just coming off of one. Take care of your vocal cords, and the type of hydration that you use is really going to help. The next thing is do vocal warm-ups. Now, these don't always have to look like you're taking a half hour before you start singing. If you have a gig that goes on for hours and hours, you don't have to do like an hour of warm-up because you will only exhaust yourself because you have a lot of singing ahead of yourself. What you want to do is think about the type of performance you're going to have. If you have one song that is the center of the whole performance and you have to be right on at the first pitch and it's high demand, then you want to warm up for a longer time and be right at the peak when you begin your performance. On the other hand, if you have something that maybe begins with a little bit of background music and maybe dinner music, you know, where people eat and there's just talking going on, it's more in the background. You don't really have to do a formal warm-up because you're only going to exhaust yourself. You don't have to be at the very peak to do high-intensity kind of singing because you're not doing high-intensity. You can use the first few songs to warm up and then gradually progress to something that is a little higher, that has a little bit more intensity, that requires you to work a bit harder with the vocal cords. And then, of course, a cool-down can also help to kind of start relaxing the vocal cords again after you put a lot of demand on them. Rest and recovery. This doesn't have to always look like you're taking a week off. Mainly, the speaking voice is where you can make a big difference. If you've had a lot of singing going on, resting by not talking, or, you know, ideally not talking or talking a little bit. And if you do talk, being more intentional about the way you do talk, not being too loud, trying to make sure you're in the right register, like how high, how low do I speak? Speaking too high or too low could put strain on your vocal cords. So make sure you always speak with a melody, that you're not like this. And speaking habits can largely affect your singing voice. So be aware and make sure you get that rest in so you don't start your next singing gig already strained. The next thing is, of course, you don't want to put any drugs in your body,
And that includes alcohol and smoke. Yes, there are professional opera singers who smoke cigarettes. I have known friends who do that. However, it is not ideal. If you want to have longevity for your vocal performances and for your voice for a long time to come, if you don't want to sound very hoarse and strained when you're 50, let's say you're 20 now, if you don't want to have that strain later, you're going to have to refrain from that. A healthy voice can only live in a healthy body. Most importantly, you want to avoid anything that is inflammatory. For some people, that might even be dairy or gluten, even though you may not have a high degree of intolerance. But anything that causes inflammation will also cause phlegm on your vocal cords. The next thing is, as a professional singer, it's kind of important whenever you do feel that something is going on with your vocal cords and you're not sure if this is still normal, you know, maybe it's just not a normal cold anymore, go to an ENT and have checkups. It's better to go once, you know, one more time and have something checked than to not go and sing on top of already maybe having nodules and then making it so much worse. You may have a rupture. That's when the little blood vessels in your vocal cords or around them in that muscle tissue burst, and that is not fun. And the earlier you detect any kind of damage, the better it is. Don't underestimate the role of a vocal coach. It's really good idea to have checkups sometimes because habits do creep in. I do have checkups sometimes with my vocal coach, and I make sure that I don't get into these bad habits that creep in. Sometimes they creep in because we're tired or because we're just getting used to doing something in a specific way because maybe it feels easier. It might not be the best kind of technique. So having check-ins is great. So it doesn't always have to be a vocal coach. It can also be just a music coach who accompanies you, who hears the shortcomings. Another thing that's actually really important is to have someone to talk to when it comes to anxiety or emotional stress. Sometimes it's just the sheer volume or the frequency of gigs that you have. And so it's a good idea to have someone who's really experienced that you trust, who can be kind of your anchor, someone who's gone through that, who's been there, done that, who can calm you down and also hold you accountable to where you're going to do what you said you were going to do. Because sometimes we say we do things and we want to take care of your voice and we want to like do all the great things technically, and then we just don't have the time and we don't follow through. So it's good to have someone to hold you accountable. And the next thing is you need to have a strategy to handle stress. Sometimes the stress isn't, oh, I'm nervous to go on stage. After you've had a bunch of experience, you're probably not nervous anymore so much. But what you do have is all those thoughts sometimes of maybe imposter syndrome, maybe I don't know, am I doing the right thing? Do I really want to perform this? What if I don't want to travel anymore? Do I want to lead this lifestyle? I had to go through all that. I had to make decisions that put stress on myself. It's like, what if I do this? Should I take this gig? Should I talk to these people? Should I go to this audition? Should I take this role? Like, there are some big decisions to be made, and sometimes that causes stress. So anytime you do that, the reframing really helps, asking yourself, is it really true? Whatever you're telling yourself, is that true? Assess, what is the truth for you? What is reality, right? And then give yourself grace because yes, it is normal sometimes to have stress. It is a lot of work. It is physical and mental work. Singing is everything because it requires you to be present with your full being, body, mind, and soul. So having some techniques such as meditation, visualizations to help you kind of step out of this, I'm looking at myself from the outside or something, that can really be helpful for me. Meditation has helped, and affirmations that I recorded myself, and you can download the affirmations. I put the link below. I recorded them. Those are the ones that I've shared with a lot of my students. Feel free to use that. And lastly, you have to always acknowledge that you as a singer, you are still a personality with everyday problems that play into what you do. Your voice is largely affected by maybe something's going on in your personal life. Maybe something is happening with your kids or with your parents. All the things play into that. Approaching your existence as a singer in a holistic view is the best way to look at things. So look at all the aspects, the technique, the musicianship, you know, the mindset work. It all works together. And if you look at all the angles and really are aware of all of them, you're going to be such a better singer. Let me know in the comments if you are professional, a semi-professional, or just a hobby singer, and how much you sing. Always keep a song in your heart and always keep on singing.